Welcome to the Geeks Roundtable Podcast with Ryan Scherer, Fabio Caffaro, and David Brown. Join us every Thursday at 1 Pacific, 4 Eastern to learn all the geeky goodness from PPC, SEO, dev, design, security, and much, much more. Visit geeksroundtable.com today.
Hello, and welcome to a new episode of the Geeks Roundtable. We are minus Orion today. He's at the doctor today. Bobby was playing hooky at the doctor last week. And today it's just Fabio and I. So welcome to the show, Fabio. How are you doing?
Thank you. I'm doing fantastic, thanks. Happy New Year to everybody. 2015 is finally here, and we're on the 15th day of the month. So it's exciting. Very excited about 2015. It's going to be a fantastic year.
Absolutely.
You know, the thing about Outlook is that, you know, a lot of it is based on perception. So if you believe that you're going to have a great year, then whatever challenges come your way, you'll accept it as something, as one step closer to attaining your goals and your dreams and whatever. So getting a little philosophical.
That should be. Yeah. It's a little long for a fortune cookie, but I like it. it's good for the podcast. So and everything at the doctor's last week turned out very well. Good news and all the good stuff. So
yep.
I figured we'd mention that since we mentioned you were at the doctor's office with your daughter. So
absolutely.
All good stuff and very happy for that.
Thank you.
So today I was talking to some of my air quotes other favorite Canadians, Todd Friesen and Jim Hedger, via Facebook about Target leaving Canada. They're shutting down 133 stores. So
yep. Very big news, and it's unfortunate because, you know, competition is always great for the consumer. So the more competition there is, you know, it helps to drive down prices and whatever. And, you know, I mean, a retailer as big as Target was very, you know, people were waiting with anticipation, you know, until they launched, until their launch here in Canada. Because most Canadians are familiar with Target, you know, visiting, because there's a lot of cross-border shopping, right? Especially with the Canadian dollar that was very high for many years. It was very, it was awesome.
It
was great
on a regular basis, man. you got to keep in mind, we're 15 minutes from the border. We can't get milk, cheese, or gas without waiting in line for an hour because of all of our Canadian folks that are coming down. We love you. But, Bellingham is overrun with Canadians. It's almost like in Canada a lot of the time. So,
well, you got to think. I mean, 90% of Canadians live along the border or within a couple of hours of the border, you know. So, we're neighbors and we live right next to each other. And so it's easy to cross over. Obviously, nowadays it's a little bit more challenging, you know, to get over to the border. But overall, it's still pretty easy. Anyway, back to Target. Obviously Canadians were very familiar with Target because the prices, you know, Target in the U.S. is very aggressive with the pricing. So Canadians were very excited and waited with much anticipation. And so when they launched, you know, Target decided that they were going to launch, like, practically, you know, within a few weeks, they launched all of their stores across Canada. And that was,
huge undertaking.
Yeah, but, that's the thing, you know, it was such an incredible, they opened up, I mean, I forget. Obviously they opened up the West first and then they came towards the East, but this all took place within a few weeks. And, you know, I think they ended up opening up 133 stores across Canada and, with a lack of infrastructure, you know, they lacked the infrastructure to actually be able to support their product line. You know, like a lot of times the shelves were empty. I visited Target a couple of times and I, you know, it was empty most of the time. It was an interesting launch. It was a great failure. And the thing is that Walmart, for example, Walmart's been in Canada for over 20 years now. And they did, Target kind of did the same type of move that Walmart did. Walmart, when they came in, they bought over a company called Woolco. And I think there were about 100 stores across Canada. And they ended up buying this company. And from those outlets, that's where they changed the name to Walmart and so on and so forth. Target did the same thing. And the only difference is that Walmart 20 years ago, they paid these stores $330 million. And Target ended up paying buying out Zellers for $1.8 billion. So huge difference in, I mean, it's 20 years, of course, there's
Sure.
inflation and everything, but 1.8, so right away they start off with 1.8 billion in the red, and then it was just catastrophic. But
Right.
the reason why I wanted to bring up Target Canada was because it's such an incredible mistake that we can all learn from it. Anybody who's involved in business, anybody who's involved in marketing, could look at Target and learn from their mistake. And that's
Right.
why I want to bring it up today, because it's a common thing, unfortunately, when people they start up their marketing campaigns and they launch without any real preparation, without any real thought into what they're doing, And in many ways, that's what Target did. They said, they said, we're going to come in, we're just going to come in and full force. But the Canadian market is different. Like from the US, you might think that Canada is all the same, but from one coast to another, just like in the US, right? Texans aren't very similar to Californians, and Californians aren't very similar to New
Are
Yorkers,
you talking about the East Coast, West Coast rap battles, or
Yeah, well, stuff like that. And I mean,
there's a huge difference, yeah.
there is a huge difference, especially here in
Yeah,
Quebec.
there is.
Quebec, we're almost 8 million people in the province, and the majority of people are French speaking, and so
Right.
just that is a totally different market.
Right.
So basically, if we look at the mistakes that Target made, we could learn from it. And some of the
Right.
mistakes, for example, because I've seen this happen often, and even today, there are clients who want to rush in to AdWords, for example, or PPC marketing with a huge budget without really understanding the market and the impact and the and how to go about it. And Target did the same way. So I want to draw parallels between Target's mistakes and common mistakes made in PPC. So for the first, like one of the things that somebody like you need to understand is how much money can you put into an advertising account on a monthly basis without it eating up your whole revenue. If your company can only
Right.
afford $4,000 or $5,000 a month, well, and still function properly, well, that's the amount. Even though you want to generate $100,000 a month in sales, and you're saying, okay, let's put in $50,000, let's put in $30,000 this month, because the reality is that even though you're advertising, it doesn't mean that people are going to buy. Just like Target, just because you opened up 133 stores doesn't mean people are going to buy. There are reasons why people keep, buying at certain places. One of them is familiarity, and the other one is
Is there a little bit of
convenience.
pushback? Hey, this is a US-based company. Through those guys, we're going to go to a Canadian-based company instead? Or is that not really a thought process there?
No, there's so much
They're all very
American
friendly.
presence. There's so much American presence in Canada that it doesn't really make a difference anymore. Like, basically, we have, apart from Canadian Tire, which is a national company, some grocery chains like Loblaws, that are national. there are very few, there's just a handful of national companies, and the rest, for example, are American. So because the Americans have purchased, bought over a lot of these companies. So no, there's not a sense of patriotism
Animosity.
because of it. Yeah, no, at all whatsoever. You know,
Well, that's good. No, you
so
guys are really friendly. I do want to read this to you real quick because this is a message. I said something just to be a smart ass because, you know, I 90% of the time I am, but I had replied to the Target preparing to exit Canada, will close all 133 stores in the country on Todd Friesen's thread earlier today. And I said I was confused by the number of stores, 133. Isn't that one store for every 20 or so Canadians? Seems like overkill. And Todd corrected me, that's one for every 260,000 Canadians, but you're so close. And then Jim Hedger, because, you know, we love Jim and Dave Davies and top five Canadian buddies of mine, Jim Hedger, Dave Davies, Todd Friesen, and yourself. And that might have been one short and all. I'm sorry about that. But we'll just say Ross Dunn. There you go. Jim said they needed more room for outerwear, David. If you have, say, 100 customers in the store, all of them wearing Canadian Goose jackets, snow pants, and in some places, snowshoes, you need a very big entry area. That's why I think they must have been thinking anyhow, because most of these stores had very little merchandise presence. So you were talking about lack of products on the shelf. I probably wouldn't revisit a store if I came in looking for an all-in-one store and they're 60% full of products,
Yeah.
not a lot of choice. So I'm not sure exactly what happened there, but I had to throw that in because I thought that was rather funny earlier today.
Well, their distribution system wasn't set up properly. I mean, Canada is a huge it's a huge country. There's a lot of distance between the West Coast and all the way to the East Coast. We're talking about, you know, if you're going to drive across Canada, it'll take you 6, 7 days from one coast to the other, you know. So you could I could fly from Montreal to Italy, and Montreal to and it'll take the same amount of time, more or less, to fly from Montreal to Vancouver. You know, that's how big Canada is. And so if your distribution center are not set up properly, it's you know, I mean, like I'm not an expert in this area, you know, but I did, you know, I have worked in retail in the past, and I have worked with a company that kind of did the same thing, a Canadian company that expanded too quickly across the country, and there were problems with their distribution because of it, you know.
Right.
And so that was one of the major things. Another major flaw mistake that they made was that there was no e-commerce presence. Target Canada
They
did
didn't have
not
a
have,
Target.ca?
they did, but it wasn't, you couldn't shop online. It was just there for product searches and whatever. It was very limited in what you could have found. So they didn't take into consideration at all the pretty much one of the most important outlets that you can have, which is e-commerce, you know. Because if you go to a store, for example, and the product is not on the shelf, but you check it up online and it is available online, then you just buy it online. So that was a whole
Right.
bunch, they potentially lost, you know, millions of dollars just because of that. And that was one of the first things that I checked out, is if they had an e-commerce presence. And he didn't. So that
Not
was
very good. I'm on there right now. They're trying to get me to sign up for updates right off the bat, and there's not a lot going on. We're talking about Brian Cornell addresses questions about Target's decision to exit Canada on Twitter. So yeah, interesting. So as no e-commerce. I would have imagined that having, you know, quality products or the products that are here. I mean, we have clients that are in Target right now in the U.S. I'm assuming they're based in or they're sold in Canada as well. That's one of those, you know, what's in the store. There's not a search. You can search in French, but in the store, I don't even see a site search. This is completely different than the Target that I'm used to looking at here locally.
Sure.
Because we have a local Target, and we go there oftentimes for products, and they have a purchase here, pick up in store type of thing, which is very handy. Best Buy really ticked me off over the beginning of the new year, so they're going to be losing a few $1,000s a year. It's not a massive jump or anything, and I don't really care. They had horrible customer service in my local one, and I'm not driving 45 minutes to the next nearest one. And we've lost, you know, Staples is gone, Office Max is gone. I think we still have a Office Depot, but they have very few things. So I'm to the point right now, Amazon Prime has got pretty much anything that I need in a short order, and it's here within 2 days. So I have to hurry up and wait 2 days from now on. But yeah, there's most people, and I don't consider myself in the group of most people. I am a search expert. I have been for going on, this is my 18th year doing this. I look everything up. I look up all the reviews, all the good, the bad, the negative. I want to see all of it before I make an informed decision. And that, generally speaking, is anything over $100 price point. And, you know, we can usually find, if you know how to do searches, I mean, for the love of Pete, people, when you're searching out something online, take the actual name of the product and or service and then do a coupon code search. We have a lot of clients who get huge searches for their terms and coupon codes.
Yeah.
So it maybe you have to wait a week or two, but you're going to save 20%. And do you really need it today? You can drive down to Bed Bath & Beyond and get something, but I'd much rather go to Bed Bath store and grab it for 20% off on the next holiday. You know what I mean? Everybody's got some kind of 15, 20, 35% off, this, that, yada, yada. So in a lot of cases, and I don't do a lot of stuff there, mostly cooking items, and Melanie does all the other, you know, design, decorating stuff in the house. I don't hang drapes. I'd help hang them if she asked me to, but I don't order that stuff. You know what I mean? It's kind of like a Queer Eye for the Straight Guy. You let your better half pick that stuff out, and then, that looks wonderful, honey. And I can say that because I know she doesn't have time to listen to our podcast. So, anywho, I'm not doing those types of searches. A lot of the searches I do, though, just random things that we need that I see, hey, we need this, we need that. And if it's, like I said, about the $100 price point, $100, $150 in there, I'll go and research it. I'll spend 10, 15 minutes researching it. And if I can find a 20, 25% off coupon code, great. I just shopped with a coupon. Like my ex-wife used to say when she'd spend $5,000 on crap we didn't need, but I saved almost $2,000. No, you just spent $3,000 on crap we didn't need. But yes, good for you. You saved some money. And I'm also certain my ex-wife doesn't listen to my podcast. Maybe her attorneys do. I don't care. Anywho, that being said, it makes sense if you're shopping online. People are, mobile was up 25% over last year from November 1st to December 15th, the end of December. So the last 2 months of the year, 45% of search went across mobile. So again, any of you that are listening to us that do not have a good mobile website, if you're not on HTTPS, you're going to have a bad time, to quote the ski instructor on the South Park episode. You guys need to be thinking about that. You need to be getting over there as soon as possible to seriously. This Target CA, not only is it not really nice and responsive, it's just, it's very little. Well, I guess it's pretty responsive.
Well, I mean, apart from, I mean, they obviously dropped the ball there along with many other areas. But the importance, especially of a national player like that, their online presence is key because, you know, a lot of times, for example, I'll look at Canadian Tire or Walmart for specific products and check their store inventory. You know, so, I mean, I don't want to have to go to, it saves me sometimes a trip to have to go to the local Walmart because, you know, I know that, let's say if I search for this product, it's not available here, but it's available at another one that's, you know, 10 minutes away, then, you know, I'll save the trip. So a lot of times, I mean, their stores for national players like that, part of the advantage of having a good online, a good website is for that reason alone, just to make sure that the inventory is available, you know, because it happens. It happens that there's something's out of a stock in a particular store, so. And
it looks like their AdWords campaign is shut down. I'm not seeing anything after removing ad block, so that's interesting.
I don't think they ever, I mean, I would have to see if they had, they actually had an AdWords campaign running. But
you'd think they'd want to sell out the remainder of their goods, right? So they don't have to import it back to somewhere in Texas. Yeah. You do realize Woot.com started by buying crates of crap after the summer sale is over, you could buy I almost bought several crates of junk from Target way back when. They have an open auction spot for any of their stuff that's not used once the season is over. So I could have bought, 100,000 pairs of flip-flops for like $18. I'm sitting there going, I can sell these things for $1 a pair or 99 cents a pair online. You know what I mean? Which is where the two brothers that started Woot and eventually sold out to Amazon got their start, was by buying leftover junk, like the back-to-school specials. Once back-to-school season is over, all that stuff gets repackaged, sent back to Texas, and you go bid on it. And if there's nobody else bidding on it, you can pick these things up for $50-$60 for a pallet.
Yeah.
And now you've got inventory. So you've got blue widgets to sell online. We sell stuff online, so it made sense. We were talking, well, you know this. Brian Mark and I were talking years ago about doing fellofthebackofthetruck.com.
Yeah.
And why is it such a good deal? Hey, it fell off the back of the truck. You know what I mean? Which was that was going to be almost a Woot type website where we had the deal of the day and then five other sub deals underneath it, where you could get, you know, 80% to 85% savings on particular items that were sold in stores. You may not be getting it when it first comes out, but when it first comes out, the only place I care about that is tech. Because I'm a geek and I want the brand new tech. I want to be the first kid on the block with the new tech. So you've seen that with my, right when they first came out, those have been deprecated. Nobody uses them anymore. They only work on Windows XP systems to program them to drive around your house. And it was great. There was an iPad and an iPhone plug-in for that so I could show people while I'm out and about. It didn't matter where I was in the world. I could drive a robot around my house and take pictures. I could set it up like a sentient robot to go around, take pictures hourly and send them to me. All kinds of other stuff. So, I don't know. Did you have more on the Target deal, or should we just use that as a nice segue right into
they did have an AdWords campaign. They were running about 2,200 ads, over 6,000 keywords. So they were running it. But obviously, they were running it, you know, like the, I saw some of their landing pages. And it's like, it's pretty frustrating to, you know, click on something, land on a page and say, okay, come and get it in the store, you know? So, but yeah, that was, but anyway, ultimately, my message to our listeners concerning the target is to draw parallels with your marketing campaigns, learn from their mistakes, don't go too big, go step by step, expand, learn from it, and lay the foundation, continue laying the foundation, and start building on top of that, because year after year you can get significant growth, and simply by having a good strategy in place and making sure that you don't run out of money, that you know the money that you have set up for advertising is something that could carry you, won't affect your day-to-day business, you know. So that's it. So where did you want to lead into? What, Dave?
New tech, robots,
new tech,
such AI and all that good stuff. So yeah, artificial intelligence, you know, I for one welcome our new overloads, computer overloads. I will say real briefly on the target thing, it would have been great if they could have done like 8 major hubs as a test market to see what happened. And maybe they did. I'm not seeing anything about that right now online, but that probably came down to a VC or they're publicly traded. There's no VC, I guess. That probably came down to we got to do 133 or nothing, and then just let's throw it all up against the wall and see what happens type of thing. So that's unfortunate, and I am happy that they're giving everybody 16 weeks paid. So that's very nice.
Yeah.
A couple of people were saying they didn't expect that much for them and or from them, and I think that's great. Good for them. Sorry you guys are missing out on Target. We still like Target up here, and good stuff going on. So,
yeah.
As far as the new tech goes, BBC News talking about Google Glass sales halted, but firm says Kit is not dead. So they're being moved out of the Google X division, which is the blue sky or the pie in the sky type of tech. And a lot of this came down to what happened with the restaurant bans. And I'm all over the web, all over the place, and 20 different locations. I've been looking at Pepper, who's scheduled to launch in February, day after Valentine's Day. And then you've got Amazon Echo, which we got our beta test invite through Prime. But I'm still hesitant. I don't want to be one of the first kids on the block with this tech. And the reason being is because it's a listening device that will pick up what you're talking about. Granted, I know they say you have to say Alexa this or Alexa that, and there's like 20 different names you can change it to. I'm a little hesitant. It already, you know, with all the Edward Snowden stuff that's gone on over the past year or two, it's one of those, not sure I want to go ahead and pay money to set something up that's going to be able to listen to everything that I say, even if I turn it off. I mean, your other option is completely unplugging the unit and plugging it back in. Ryan's brought that up several times with internet security. You want to be completely secure, pull the Cat5 cable out of the back of your modem.
Yeah.
You're completely secure. But then you've lost all internet access. So, I don't know. Have you seen anything about the Echo yet?
I haven't, no.
Okay. Amazon Echo is a cylinder based deal that listens. You can say Alexa and it wakes up the system and it'll read you recipes, it'll read you news headlines, which according to Meg Geddes this morning, her account said it only reads NPR headlines, there's probably going to be a better GUI that interfaces with yours so you can change things out. I don't want NPR headlines. I'd rather have Search Engine Land, Search Engine Journal, SEO Roundtable, et cetera, et cetera. Read me these headlines, the headlines I'm interested in, right? So it also has things like, oh, I'm out of, and this is what I see this becoming a big deal for Amazon. Oh, I just finished my orange juice. Put that on my shopping list or in my Prime pantry, which those of you that don't know, if you have an Amazon Prime pantry just launched, and you can fill up a $5.99 or $6.99. We were discussing this with a client the other day. $5.99, $6, something like that. And they'll send you a great big box of your most commonly purchased grocery items. So what that allows Amazon to do is learn from you. Oh, you use Charmin Ultra Soft, the 12-pack. That's what you normally get. Here's how often you need this or that, which is also really funny from a marketing standpoint. Holidays, toilet paper sales go up because everybody's eating more food and you have more people at your place. Isn't that funny? Wouldn't have thought of that. We don't work for any. I believe it as well, but we don't work for any toilet paper companies. But it is funny to see as a marketer how those kinds of things spike during holidays where there's a lot of food. So the more you put in, the more that comes out, I guess the more you need CP. So
You need, yeah, the maintenance part of it.
right, the maintenance part, yeah. So I see Amazon Echo being, and by the by, any of you that are Reddit listeners, you probably already saw the Amazon Echo videos come out. There was a plethora of them. They're hilarious. They made the robot look like it was AI gone bad. And by AI, for any of you that don't understand, that's artificial intelligence. Seems a little scary, but it has what's called an emotion engine algorithm built into it. So in the eyeballs, or not the eyeballs, wait a second, I'm talking about a different robot. That's not true. Let me take all that back. I apologize. And there's no voice inflection software built into Amazon Echo. Not to say that it won't be in the future, but what I do see them doing is hooking directly to your Prime Pantry account. And if you're cooking, or like for me, I use the Logitech deal for my iPad. And when we cook something new, it sits on top of the Keurig and we can read the instructions. Would it be easier to have a little cylinder say, what next, Alexa? Oh, next, you need to do blah, blah, or this or that, or yada, yada. Start prepping this and read it to you. That would be a lot easier. And then as soon as you're out of oregano or powdered sugar or hoisin or whatever you're out of, and I'm reading right off my little, there's Melanie's list there, what needs to go on the list right now. It'll just order it for you. Oh, we ordered this brand previously. Would you like me to put one into your deal? Sure. And then you have a once weekly deal shipped to your door. You can get everything except for fresh vegetables and produce. You know what I mean? Because they don't carry that. So I can see that being a huge deal. Martin Bowling and I, shout out to Martin, by the way, we're talking about years ago, putting together licensing the Red Laser SDK and taking a Raspberry Pi that had a little Wi-Fi connection to it to connect to your main computer and a very simple setup program where anytime you finished a thing of, let's say, Simply Orange juice, right? You would just simply scan it before you stick the bottle, you rinse it out and you put it in the recycling bin. And it would automatically add it to your next Amazon shopping, grocery shopping list. Oh, you need all of these things. Or to a anyways, we had gone over that, and
yeah, I
now I
mean
think.
that's this type of auto replenishment program. It's been around for some time, but obviously now there's technology behind it, so it's a little bit smarter. I remember many,
Right.
many years ago, Amway, when Amway had gone from Amway to Quickstar, because they had taken on the internet fairly early on. We're talking about late 90s when they had switched over to Quickstar, because now they were going to use the internet. They had come up with, I think even probably prior to that, but they had come out with an auto replenishment program. So if you knew that you consumed, whatever at a certain time of the month, every month they would send you those products. So, but obviously these today, there's technology is much more advanced, and it'll be interesting to see. There's a concern now with AI, and a lot of scientists are saying that that we need to be concerned about the advancement of AI and how it could potentially, take over the world, which is the worst case scenario for us,
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, and they keep getting
But
smarter and smarter, and they can rebuild
sure.
themselves. And yes, I, for one, welcome our new internet overlords
Yeah.
knocking on
No,
wood.
but the question is, how do you stop it? How do you can you stop progress? Like for example, there's a committee or scientists are saying, okay, we need to slow this down. The reality is how do you slow down progress? How do you stop it from, I have to assume that even though they were to create certain laws, that somebody underground was probably building something, super advanced, like today, right? Or even the military
Right.
or whatever. So
Well, what
I
were the
think
laws
that,
on the movie iRobot? First in it,
yeah.
first do no harm to humans.
Yeah.
So that
Yeah.
actually that's a perfect segue into the next bit. Those of you that haven't seen Pepper yet, I actually meant to mention this on our last episode and failed to get to it at all, even in our ish. Supposedly, the wealthiest man in Japan has been secretly building this robot for the last 2 years. And it's the same designers, or the same producers, rather, of all the Mac and Apple products. So it's a very good-looking robot as far as design, the corners and the edges. And it looks very cool. It looks a lot like a Mac or Apple product. Anyways, this robot's called Pepper. That's the expression engine algorithm that I was talking about. It has two cameras where its eyeballs are. So the nice thing about having two cameras side by side, any of you that have ever taken 3D pictures, you know that's what you need to have. It's two cameras side by side in order to take the 3D picture. So it can take 3D pictures of you and your family at Christmas or Thanksgiving or whatever holiday, birthday parties, whatever. It talks to you. It has basically where its chest is a horizontal iPad, and it's supposed to be able to tell based off of your facial structure whether or not you have had a good day or a bad day. So, for example, you come home from the office, Fabio, you've had a bad day, and Pepper knows that you need to be, lifted up, if you will. Or to smile, it'll start dancing with you and play your favorite song if you've had a bad day at work. And it's got memory, obviously, so it can tell based. This one does have voice inflection. So, for example, if you yelled at the dog for piddling on the carpet or whatever, bad dog, don't do that. It has four fingers on each hand and a thumb, so the same. It's very humanoid-ish. It's a lot like the Jetsons, although it can't cook or clean or, take the dishes and put them in the dishwasher or anything at this point. The barrier to entry is going to be extremely low. The Google Glass was $1,500 if you were in the program, right? And they're selling Pepper for $2,000. So $500 more than the Google Glass, and you have a 4'5" humanoid robot in your home now. So we're moving right into the Jetsons, folks. This is as geeky as it gets. It's a low barrier to entry. I already know people that are on the waiting list. It's very interesting. I'm interested to see, you know, what kind of experiments go on. I imagine that YouTube is just going to be flooded with videos from anybody that has one. Oh, look what Pepper did today. I mean, look at when Siri came out. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, Siri told me this horrible joke. Meg Geddes was talking about that today about her Amazon Echo. Tell me a joke. All the jokes are really cheesy and PC and PG-13. Not the kind of jokes I normally tell amongst buddies, as you know.
Yeah.
So it is very interesting. So the other interesting thing in the parallel drawn to iRobot, you know, the movie with Will Smith where all the robots
went
crazy and tried to kill humans. It does require a monthly service or updates. There's, I think, 20 different engines in its body, and it has learning capabilities. So as they learn, you and your family, they can get better at doing things. So who knows, if developers are like, here's how you pick up dishes, here's how you put them in the dishwasher, that could absolutely be something that starts happening. And then you've got working class robots working in your home.
Yeah.
Pretty insane.
Yeah, it's amazing to think, like, imagine that for a second and the kind of impact it'll have on the economy. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, because, you know, the economy right now requires people to work. But if you have a lot of, you know, like a lot of robots taking care of the work, what happens to the economy? So it'll be interesting to see how. I wonder how, you know, I wonder, it's just, you know, wide open question, just how the economy is going to be in 100 years from today, you know, or 200 years from today. Like, will it be like Star Trek, you know, or whatever? So it'll be interesting to see how we transit. Because, you know, like, if you think for a moment, especially with 3D printing, and how quickly that's evolving, it's incredible. I love the concept of 3D printing. I was looking at them and I was watching a documentary on MakerBot, which is I think it was the first company to make like a desktop version of a 3D printer. Because according to this documentary that I was watching on Netflix, the 3D printing has been around for about 20 years. And it's mainly used in aviation and the auto industry. So a lot of parts are made through 3D printing. But MakerBot, this company, was the first one to make like a desktop version. And you could, you know, and their printers are about $1,500, you know, and maybe a little bit less. And there's some models coming in from China that they're selling for like $500-$600. And yeah, I mean, and you know, so you have all these designs available online. You know, you feed them into the your computer, and your printer makes up. You know, so imagine 20 years from now, you have guests coming over, and you say, you know, and you say, "Holy smokes, I need some glassware." You know, all of a sudden, you print up, you know, 6 glasses and a brand new dining set, and you know, there's actually 3D printers that can actually print out food, cookies and stuff like that. Yeah, edible food.
Really?
Absolutely.
Okay,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, there's 3D printers that are printing out human tissue. So there's a doctor, I forget where he's located, probably in the U.S., where he's been printing out ears. So for people who've lost their ears, for example, they take the cells from the individual, they grow the cells, and they feed it through a 3D printer and print out an ear with the person's own cells.
Isn't
that amazing?
But it is amazing for sure. I haven't seen any of the organic properties going into 3D printing. But then again, well, it's too bad Ryan's not on this call because they had three different 3D printers they were testing out
for oh, cool.
clients. And, you know, we have a client that was trying to get cable management system clips built, and the cost was astronomical. And through Reddit, some engineer had printed out, here's like the cat's meow, and these things are like $90 a piece. Their print price was like $3 a piece. And yeah, let's just go ahead and let's get a couple more printers and just print these things out in mass. Cheaper than going to China or anything like that. There's some really, really great tech that's out there right now. And the people that are on the bleeding edge and that are embracing it from an early point in the tech, those are going to be the people that are pioneers moving forward. Others are going to be, oh, geez, I wish we would have done this way back when, and da, da, da. So, yeah, it is very interesting to see that. The compassion algorithm, I'm partially concerned with that because we've been working with algorithms for, you know, over a decade now. Why does this do that? Why does that do that? If we do this, and that'll change the outcome of this. If you have one of these robots, I guess it'll depend on how the family works. And, you know, dad's always ticked off and da da da. Let's pour him a scotch and make sure he's got his newspaper and his slippers as soon as he gets home. That's a horrible example, but, you know, that's one of those, if it keeps getting worse, we're just going to call Child Protective Services, which is, you know, it is interesting to see where they're going. And for any of you, we will put Pepper up in the deal. It can do rudimentary things right now, like dance poorly. I can bust out the sprinkler and the shopping cart and much better than the robot can, because it looks funnier when I do it. But I got to say, if I had a full life-size robot here, it would be very interesting to see how this all plays out. The fact that it's connected to monthly updates, that's the bit that kind of bothers me, because, you know, in iRobot, somebody hacked into that and turned all the robots evil, right?
Yeah.
So that part bothers me a little bit, but who knows? It's very interesting to see. It's very George Jetson-ish, or Jetson-ish. That would be the deal. So the Google Glass was one of those. It's not necessarily failing, but a lot of people have paid the $1,500 for that, and it's kind of they did break new ground. It's interesting to see where it's heading, and none of this has anything to do with search or social or PPC or dev or design or anything of that nature. So it's just, it is proper fodder for Geeks Roundtable. And
yeah, absolutely.
I guess I'll leave it at that. But Amazon Echo, Google Glass, Pepper, bits of AI learning, machines that are learning from what we as humans do. And ultimately, there's humans behind the programming. So, and there have been lots of people. Even Elon Musk was on a AMA on Reddit the other day talking about if we have to do this properly. If we don't, it could be detrimental to our society. So, that's interesting because
thankfully,
come back to the Matrix.
Yeah. Well, thankfully, a lot of this science fiction, you know, like The Matrix and Terminator, and, you know, probably other stories, has helped make us aware of the importance. And hopefully, there'll be enough precautions where where this the AI, for example, doesn't take over the world. You know, it's interesting to see how it's going to play out, and you know we're going to see this in our lifetime because technology advances fairly rapidly. Actually, I remember Brian Tracy. I always forget the person who came up with this theory that every 18 months the power of processing will double, or processing power will double in computers. And Brian Tracy is one of my mentors. He stated in a book, I forget the book now, but anyway, he stated that information, just like the power of processing, information doubles every 18 months. So the information that we have today, that's available to us today, will double in 18 months. So if that's true, then the rate, for example, of our technological advances will be so much quicker. So in what we're seeing now with Amazon Echo and Google Glasses, you know, in 10 years from now, these things are going to be just like drones. Drones are incredible. It's incredible now that we hear about drones regularly, right? Like 5 years ago, who heard about drones except for the occasional potentially the drone flying into Afghanistan bombing some people, you know? But apart from that, I mean, today we see drones, people in real estate using drones for camera, people using drones for a wide variety of reasons, you know, and it's so incredible. So I mean, I it's exciting and scary at the same time, you know.
Sure.
You know, the scary part is when we let. Go ahead.
Oh, I would say it's one of those we need to be cognizant of it and understand it and test it, and you know if it's not working properly. I mean, when I put Rovio from Wowee, into my house, we set that up so people could drive it around our house, which worked out great until I was making out with Melanie on the couch one day, and somebody from Germany was driving the robot up and checking us out, and it's like, okay, this is creepy, let's put this thing away for a while. It's great when we're out of the house and, you know, turn it on, turn it off when we leave the house. I could set it up to go to the front door, the back door, the side door, yada, yada, and take pictures. And I could use it to screw with my dogs, which was hilarious to me because they don't like robots. But that being said, they're becoming more friendly. They're becoming part of your family. And it is very weird. It's something that should be looked at, close consideration. I'm really not certain about the monthly updates, especially coming out of Japan. No offense to anybody that's Japanese, but I don't know this guy from Adam, and I don't particularly want them doing updates that I don't have control over. And if mm-hmm. a mother beacon signal is sent out and it's like, kill all humans, boom, it figures out how to go and grab my butcher knife off my... you know, out of my kitchen and kill us while we're sleeping type of thing. That's really weird. That's a little tinfoil hat-ish, but I'm sure they wouldn't do that, knock on wood. But that being said, it is weird. It's interesting. The compassion algorithm is interesting to me. And
yeah,
like I said, just because we've spent years manipulating Google's algorithm in the proper sense for clients and whatnot and for ourselves, if it can be augmented by feeding it this data or that data, it's one of those, well, what if your neighbor decided to do this or to do that, and then all of a sudden your robot's bad? You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it is interesting. With that being said, I wanted to real quickly say at the end of the hour here, we launched the new matrixmarketing.co today, or neo1seo.com. I spent the last 2 weeks working on that. It is much better than our old site. I apologize for that, guys. That was horrible. new startup business, it is very difficult to be able to launch a site, take care of all the clients, and get all the working bits of a company to go. So we've been primarily focused on client sites over the last, 6-7 months now. And I think we're in our 8th month now. So we just launched about 2 hours before the show started. The blog is still broken. It's still borked, but we'll have that fixed here by tomorrow. And, well, it would have been fixed if Ryan didn't have a doctor's appointment, because he's been busy working on it all day. And I won't be bugging Ryan for a couple of days now that we got the site up. So it looks sweet. It's a one-page parallax. We're still setting up our 404 and our website. So, anyway, all that to say, we're rocking, man.
Awesome stuff, man.
We got some sweet new clients coming on this year, and we're looking for more constantly. So I got my number up on the front page of the website. Anybody needs anything, give me a holler. Fabio, Ryan, and I work on pretty much all of our projects together. There's some where it's just Fabio and I, and some where it's just Ryan and I, and there's some where it's just Fabio and Ryan. Doesn't really matter, but we're all here. We're ready to help. Be sure to swing by and check out the Ask a Question section. We're going to start doing questions on a regular basis here on the site, and we're going to start bringing in some guests this year. We hit about 7,500 downloads in our first couple of months doing this, so we're on track to be it's no SEO 101 in its heyday, but we're getting there very quickly, a lot faster than we did with SEO 101, say that much. So I think we're still, have you checked on Block Talk Radio? I believe we're the number one show to come up under internet, which is great. That's sending us tons of traffic. So, anywho, not to toot our own horn, but hey, we're taking ass and taking names. So, appreciate it. And thanks for listening. We do really appreciate all of it. If you guys have any questions, hit us up. I know Fabio's heard me say this about a million times, but the only stupid question you can ask is the one you don't ask. So,
yeah.
By all means, go ahead. Give us a call. Give us a question. Meet up with us. We'd be glad to help you with whatever we can. So, Fabio, did you have anything to add? Or
no, that's it. I'm good.
Yeah. We didn't have any ish this time. You get Ryan and I on there at the same time, and Ryan and I can just BS forever. Not to say we can BS forever, because we do. But anywho. So, 90 seconds. We're going to finish on time today. So, for the Geeks Roundtable Podcast, this is David.
This is Fabio.
Fabio.
Yeah. Sorry about that.
Take care.
All right, then. Bye-bye.
Welcome to the Geeks Roundtable Podcast with Ryan Scherer, Fabio Caffaro, and David Brown. Join us every Thursday at 1 Pacific, 4 Eastern to learn all the geeky goodness from PPC, SEO, dev, design, security, and much, much more. Visit geeksroundtable.com today.